Hey friends, you know, one of the best ways to learn Azure is to use it. However, you don't want to break the bank. It's also helpful to create something useful. My friend Frank Boucher built a budget-friendly URL shortener that you can deploy directly from GitHub, explore it in Azure, and customize it for your own use. And I'm learning all about it today on Azure Friday. Hey friends, I'm Scott Hanselman and it's Azure Friday and I'm here with Frank Boucher who has got something budget friendly for me. He knows that I don't like to spend a lot of money when I put my things in the cloud. What have you built for us, sir?
I built a URL shortener. I do a lot of videos and I thought a URL shortener will be useful because nobody remembers a very long URL or something random. And I thought since everybody these days are doing more stuff from home, I thought, you know, making it easy to deploy would be also very interesting.
That's cool because there are like URL shorteners out there like Bitly and this and that. But, you know, I don't own that domain. I don't know if that's going to go away someday. With this shortener, it's basically owned by you from the domain all the way to the storage. Like you own every bit of it.
Exactly.
Very cool. Okay. So let's see it. Show me how this works.
Yeah, so it's all in GitHub. So the name is AZ URL Shortener. And I built that streaming. So all the steps of how it was built is still available online on videos. And to get it, you just need to click that blue button here. So if I control click to open it in a new tab, we'll just open. And now I have just a few questions. So, you know, resource group, so I could, you know, create something cool like to delete. And then you pick your location. I give it a base name because to make sure the resource you're creating are never used, I will add a suffix automatically for you. Mm-hmm. Then a thing I like about that, and I did that recently, is you could decided to go kind of headless, no front end. So you could call it directly from an API, you know, using Postman or any tool you want. Mm-hmm. Or you could use the Blazor website that I did.
Oh, cool.
And I have instruction to help people if they want to build their own front end and add it to the project.
I see. So you can use it as an API or have an optional front end.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then you decide the URL you want by default. Could be your blog, your website, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And then because I'm using that deploy to Azure button, I need to have the GitHub URL. So if you decide to change a few little things, you could fork the project and then you need to change this thing. Otherwise, if you do it straight from my GitHub, you don't need to change anything. And here those two expired on and owner name, that's a value that I use and I create tags. And for me, it's just a way to make my subscription efficient. So every Monday, I run a script that analyzes and everything that is expired on. And here I'm doing hair quotes. Nothing will happen, but it will give me a report and say, hey, these resources, you should maybe check and delete them if you want to keep things tight.
Okay.
So always use those things. And for the front end, if you're using a front end, then I will need a username and a password. Because, you know, I don't want everybody to create short URL on my account. So you just fill that. It runs for like 5 minutes, maybe less. And then you end up with a bunch of resources.
Okay. So like when I first see this, though, I see a lot of resources and I might be worried that like, oh, if there's a lot of resources, this must cost me a lot of money. What are these resources and what do they do and which ones are free or cheap?
Well, everything is cheap. Right now, the most expensive one, and that's on me, like the version, if you deploy that from my GitHub, like you will have a cheaper version of me. Just I'm doing a bunch of experimentation. So this one, like that's the website. Mm. Right now, I boosted it a little bit to do more tests and being heavy and see like the worst case scenario. Yeah. And when you deploy, I usually put you in the free tier. So it's free. It's kind of cheap.
Oh, I like
free. I put it something heavier just to see, what if, you know, what a worst case kind of a budget mindset. Cool. So Storage here, the two last in the bottom, that's super efficient for pricing. And I use one for the storage, the data, and the other one is for the Azure function. After I have my plan, this is the little purple bulb. That's Application Insight. That's a free service. And right now, I'm not leveraging that in the application. That's kind of on the stack of to-dos. It's get a lot of information about your URL shortener, like when people are clicking on it, like what's the performance and stuff like that. So we'll leverage that in the future. Right now, I don't have anything. Well, you still can access it through the portal, though. And then Azure Function. So Azure Function is fantastic because you're billed by second. So, you know, when you create a function, when you call the API, say, oh, create me a short URL with this thing, it only runs for a second, maybe a few milliseconds. So you just get charged for that. And you got, you know, bonus, you got a lot of free calls anyway by month. So I've been running that for, like, this is a new instance I created this morning because I was streaming. But my personal instance, I've been running a month now with it, and it's less than $2, oh, Canadian dollars. So it's very cheap in US dollars. And yeah, so, and those three top resources are for the website, optional. And like by default, like I said, you will go in a free tier. So it's very low expense. I push the expense a little bit just to see, like, what if I go and add more stuff in it, mm-hmm. like what it would look like. In this case, I think I'm still under $5 a month.
You know, and that's a really good thing to think about, because just because I see a lot of resources and my first reaction is like, oh, this is going to be expensive. What you're really showing me are a lot of free resources that are born on the cloud, cloud native resources that make this application simpler than just a website.
So yes, it is just a lot of resources, but very small resources, kind of microservices mm-hmm. architecture.
Yeah, exactly. And those small service architectures make for an application that can scale. Do you think that even though it's budget friendly, that like a million people could use this tomorrow all at once?
Well, the Azure function will scale automatically. That's kind of the beauty of them. You focus on your code, and everything else is not magic. You could control it if you want. But yeah, of course, it will work.
That's cool. Can we take a look at the code and you can explain to me how this works? All right, let's switch over to your machine.
Great. So you can see my code now. So this is right, like the GitHub contain everything. But right now I'm in the Azure function that generate or create the short version of your URL. So I'm expecting a post, and you send the long URL, and I give you the option. You can send me what I call the vanity. You could call that the end of the URL if it makes sense for you. Mm-hmm. And if you want, I will use that. If you don't, I will generate one for you. And I just create a response and return you that. And what I do is I just create that token, if I don't have it, and save that in Azure storage table, like very, very, very basic.
So right there, when you say if short URL vanity, short URL entity exists on line 58, are you looking in? No, I'm sorry, not 58. That is 54. You're basically making a call to storage and saying, has this been used before?
Exactly. Yeah, I created a little helper here. If we go, I just run.
Oh, it's very simple. You just say, there's a table, there's a thing exist, the row exist.
Yeah.
And you're just using checking. The Azure SDK just directly.
I'm using the Cosmo table API SDK, yeah. That's the best API I found, SDK, mm-hmm. that I found right now. And it's very, very simple to use. So always the same kind of pattern where you do a select or an update or, you know, delete if you want.
Okay, that looks really clean. So then when you go back over to your...
The function.
And then you go and you say, all right, if that's cool, then you can say there's a conflict because I already have that. Otherwise, you go and create it and then you give back the new URL.
Yes. So like I checked if it doesn't exist. If it doesn't, I create like the record, if you want to say, the entity. and I will save it and return the result to the end user. And it's a JSON object.
And your Cosmos table is really just two columns?
It's not a Cosmo table. It's a storage table. I'm using the Cosmo SDK.
That's a really important thing for me to understand. So you're using the Cosmo SDK because you like the way it feels and the way it works, but you're not talking to Cosmos, you're talking to storage, and storage has two columns.
Yes, I save a little bit more information. I keep the date.
Oh, right, for exploration.
That I create. So you have the partition key. So the partition key is the first letter of the, you know, if we go technical, like it's the first, the vanity, the first letter is used for the partition. So I kind of fan out equally the URL. Mm-hmm. I keep the long version and I keep the, that's it, I think. No, the short version also now. Yeah, it's true. I added that recently.
Okay. And fanning out makes sense. When we talk to people who are using anything of scale, having that partition key is so important, even though we're just partitioning on either 26 letters in the alphabet, or if it starts with a number, then out to 10 numbers, just having 36 partition keys will make a huge difference if you had billions of these in your, yes, in your database.
Yeah. So, yeah. So very, very simple. And then when you click, right now I keep only a little bit of statistics. For example, every time you click, in the main table, I just add +1 to the number of clicks. Mm-hmm. And in another table, I keep the timestamp. So in the future, what I would like to have is some kind of graph so I could see, like around 2 p.m. today, like my, you know, a lot of people were clicking, my blog post was working or something like that. So you could follow that. So you could go deeper also using Application Insight, but I didn't implement all of that yet.
Okay. Can you show me? So this is where you make the URL. Show me where you pick up the URL and you actually do the redirect. And then is that under URL redirect right there?
Yes, it's in the URL redirect. And that function is called by default. I'm using the Azure Function Proxy, you know, because when you call a function in a function app, you need to go function app, API, blah, blah, blah. So we don't want people to remember that. So I use an Azure proxy. If you don't pass, if you pass nothing, I will redirect you to this function doing the mapping for you.
Okay. And then where is your, you do a 302 redirect?
Yeah, I create a response. If I found it, I just create a response and do the redirect.
I feel like I need this. I need my own Hanselman URL shortener. So can you show me your GitHub again so folks can know where they can get this set up for themselves?
Yes, of course. You know what? I could do better than that. I could do something like this. So for Cloud 5-Minute, CA because I'm Canadian, and Project because it's the project of the URL shortener.
All right. Fantastic. So folks can check that out at github.com/fboucher, or they can see c5m.ca/project. And they can also check you out streaming on the regular and exploring code and building things like this for us to see.
Exactly. Fantastic. And if they want, they could even add their own front end.
All right. We have been talking with Frank Boucher, and it's been another episode of Azure Friday.
Hey, thanks for watching this episode of Azure Friday. Now I need you to like it, comment on it, tell your friends, retweet it. Watch more Azure Friday.